the main point, obviously, of the text is obvious. Those of us who know all that we have been forgiven love the Lord. And any time we find our love flagging, not being strong, we have only to think of what has been forgiven us to have it stirred up again. And that's our Lord's whole point here. You see, to relate to Him, we have to know that we are forgiven and what it cost Him and how gladly He paid the price. Pius XII said many years ago, the greatest sin of our age is the lack of a sense of sin. And when we don't have a sense of sin, we try to get very righteous on our own. And we can become like the Pharisee, who's not a bad fellow. He did invite Jesus for supper, after all. Wanted to be with Him, wanted to hear what He had to say. Why he didn't offer the absolutely basic things of hospitality to this guest is still a mystery. Whenever somebody comes in came in those days, of course, right away, you know, there was a servant to wash his feet because they were full of dust. They walk in sandals on dusty roads. Greet him with an embrace. Anoint his head with some oil as a sign of welcome, as I said. All the things that he didn't do for his head, this woman did for his feet. It's just very interesting. It's one of the reasons why later on, I think, when John seems to combine this story with other stories, and he says, you know, that she anointed the other woman, or the same woman, or we'll never know till we get to heaven, anointed his feet, and the house was filled with the perfume of this. At the very point where the others are saying that she anointed his head. For them, you see, they anointed him. She symbolically is anointing his body, his feet, us. Cares for us. Now this has happened many, many times. Somebody deeply forgiven their sins who have spent their life kissing his feet, anointing his feet, embracing his feet, caring for the poorest of the poor. I'm thinking right now of Camilla Stellelis, who was a roustabout, a gambler, profligate, murderer. He and his father were mercenary soldiers. So they weren't exactly high up on the list of pious people. In fact, when he finally came to the Lord and was forgiven and wanted to give his whole life to the Lord, none of the orders would take him. It would ruin their reputation to take this guy. So he just started to serve the poorest of the poor and the sickest of the sick out of gratitude. Gratitude. Pretty soon a bunch of people joined him, and before you knew it, he'd founded an order. He didn't start out to do that. So the heart of this, I would think, this morning as we listen to this, is really, how grateful am I for the way the Lord has forgiven me? See, to think of all our sins and get all overwhelmed with guilt and fear again isn't going to help much. But to look at our sins and look at the mercy of God, huh? This is a very great grace. It's a grace that the Lord is prepared in our day to pour out in abundance. There have been several prophecies about this. There's been visions about this. That is, the grace of seeing our sins in the light of His eyes, see our sins through his eyes, which means see them in the light of mercy and be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with this mercy. Then we're truly free, right? Got nothing else to be afraid of. I'm free. So I think I'll go try to make everybody else free. And at least, though I don't have the eyes of Christ, at least show them what I've got to offer. Some love, some care, some service. You find this a lot in people, huh? This sense. And so she cares for him. She cares for his feet. And when the other fellow is shocked, our Lord tells a parable. The kind of parable he often tells has to do with money. Ever notice how many of the parables have to do with money? The fellow who owed the national debt and the one, you know. Well, there's a deep theological reason for that and psychological reason for that. We're in debt to God. I mean, that's serious. How are we going to pay him back? Well, we're not. Our Lord's building on the fact that in Aramaic, his language, chov, the word for debt, H-O-B, H-O-V, chov, the word for debt is also the word for sin. Because sin is a debt. Now I owe God $50 million and there's no way I'm going to pay it. I can't. And he says, it's dismissed. In the blood of my son, it's forgiven. Now you see why the fathers of the desert, those great saints and mystics, why they prayed all the time to know that they were forgiven. Because that becomes a source of life, a source of energy, a source of, you know, to show the mercy that we have received. They, based on that theological principle, they took as the criterion of knowing that they were forgiven, not feeling great, which is sure a happy thing, but that they had forgiven all their enemies. When they had forgiven all their enemies, then they knew that the forgiveness given to them by God had reached its fruit in them. And they were free. So this is very beautiful. And only Luke has this gorgeous story. And the Pharisee, nice meaning fellow in his own way, is a foil for the story. All the things he didn't do. And the way he judged the woman. And the way he judged Jesus. You know, as I was reading that this morning, I was thinking, if you ride in a taxi in Jerusalem to this day, on Kabbalat Shabbat, getting ready for Shabbat, okay? And you're sitting there, and there's a fellow all dressed in his black coat and his peyote and his hat, and, you know, very orthodox, and a woman comes, he'll make sure she doesn't touch him, because he won't be ready to celebrate Shabbat if this woman touches him. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But that's what's in his mind. He lets this kind of a woman touch him. Yes. Yes. He came to save her. To pour out his blood for her. And all of us, in much worse shape than this woman, because we don't know how much we've been forgiven, he lets us touch him every day.